How many of you can remember the last time Pastor John Fincalti was here? Which book did he preach from? Oh, there is a quiz. How many of you can remember that? Put up your hand. See? The last time he was here, if I'm not mistaken, he preached from the book of Lamentation. 5 chapters of this book, he can put it into one sermon, one Sunday, in 45 minutes. That is gift. That is gift. So he has this ability that God has given to him, where he can compact the word of God and bring it so simplified. It's so revolutionary to us. So this morning, Pastor John is not a stranger to us. And one thing I can say, each year I see him, he has not grown older. I don't know what is he taking to make himself look as what I've met him many years ago. So let's welcome him as he comes.
Thank you, Pastor Stewart. You're very kind. I am getting older. Who's feeling older this year? Oh, my goodness. What a year. But thank you, Pastor Stewart. That's very kind. I do try to look older, but I don't think it makes any difference what you do, to be honest. Every time I look in the mirror, I think, goodness gracious me, what happened to this hair? It's gone platinum. I don't call this gray. I call this platinum. Platinum class. I like to be up there. It's great. Thanks, Pastor Stewart, for having me back. Great to be back with you and here at Grace City Church. And what a bizarre year. Who's had a bizarre year? I've had a weird year. What a strange year it has been. And who's glad they're living in Perth this year? My goodness, what a year to be living in the most isolated big city in the world. If you want to pick a city to live in 2020 in the pandemic, this is the place to be. And even though we can't get out, we're very safe here, which we're very thankful for. And the Lord in his goodness will keep us through this whole deal. We'll enter the other side and we'll see the great things Jesus does. I like that scripture you've got up there. See, I'm doing, that's not my sermon I'm preaching this morning, but I like that scripture. I'm doing a new thing. God will always do resurrection after death. Whenever you go through something that's tumultuous and turmoil, the Lord will always resurrect. It's a key principle. It's the key thing of the Christian life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. If you've got Jesus, you will have resurrection. I too am actually looking forward to the resurrection of my body one day. I would love a brand new, I wouldn't mind a brand new body right now, actually. But I'm looking forward to that day when I resurrect out of the grave. What a great day that is going to be. Let's jump into the Bible. I'm in Mark chapter 10. Verse 46, won't preach the whole book of Mark today, so you can relax if you think Mark 1 to 16. No, we're not doing that. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. The they is mentioned in the very next phrase, Jesus and his disciples. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. We bump into this story in the Gospel of Mark as Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. He's heading to Jerusalem with a large crowd, and this crowd is alive and vibrant. It's like a crowd, if you've ever been to Optus Stadium to go to a sporting event or a concert there, you crowd onto the train, you're on the train, and there's on the way there's a sense of excitement as you head towards the concert or the game, and you pour into the stadium, and it's buzzing, is vibrant because there's expectation about the event that you're going to. This crowd was heading to Jerusalem with the expectation that Jesus, son of David, would be crowned king in Jerusalem. His kingdom would be ushered in. They would deal with the Romans and gather back Israel to serve the Lord without the Roman Empire crushing down upon them with their force and their might. And this crowd was alive with excitement and expectation. It was a sense of, hey, something brilliant is coming down the road. And they've moved through Jericho and they're heading to Jerusalem. Now, it's not far. It's only 25, 27 kilometers. Pretty well like going from here to Kalamunda, from going here to the hills. But the difference between going from here to the hills in Perth, Jericho is the lowest city in the world. It's 257 meters below sea level. Jerusalem is 750 or so meters above sea level. If you go up to Kalamunda, you're going to go up to about 300 meters sea level height. Journey from Jericho, Jerusalem, you would go up 1,000 meters, three times that length. In fact, the scripture talks about going up to Zion. It literally means going up to Zion. It was a hill, it's a mountain. And there was a sense of this journey upward towards Jerusalem to crown Jesus as king. And this crowd is excited, this crowd is vibrant, it's alive, it's a large crowd. They'd heard Jesus preaching, they'd seen miracles, they'd experienced the power of God. When they were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. If you were blind back in the first century in Israel, there was no Centrelink. There's no national disability insurance scheme to help you out. You didn't have someone who'd be paid as a carer to look after you. You basically had to head out there and beg every day. And you'd hope that someone, enough people, would be generous to give you money or give you food or give you something, give you some sort of sustenance. We're not told even in the story. I find the Bible frustrating sometimes. I'd like to know, how did he get blind? Was he born blind? Wouldn't you like little footnotes in the Bible explaining a little bit more? I'd love that, little juicy footnotes you could read and go, you know, he's born blind. Maybe he was got blind in a fight when he was a young man. Maybe he'd actually been in a battle, in a war. Maybe he'd kind of fought for the Roman Empire and been blinded in a battle. Who knows? I don't know, but he's blind. And he's out on the side of the road begging. And he hears a large crowd coming. You hear the noise of the crowd, the buzz of the crowd. And he gets his little tin can with a few coins. It rattles a bit louder. This could be a good day for business. A lot of people going by. And they sound happy. Happy crowd's going to be a giving crowd. Depressed crowd, now they're going to be tight and stingy. But happy crowd, man, maybe I'll just rattle the tin a little bit. I'll just kind of make a bit of noise and find out. And then I'll ask someone, who is this crowd? What's all this crowd about? Verse 47, when he heard, it was Jesus of Nazareth. You ask someone in the crowd, what's the crowd all about? What's going on? They say, it's Jesus of Nazareth. We're heading up to Jerusalem, man. We're going to crown Jesus the king. It's going to be a phenomenal day when we get to Jerusalem. There's a whole hundreds of us on the way. I love the fact that the Bible calls Jesus of Nazareth. He's not Jesus of Rome. He's not Jesus of Jerusalem. Jesus of Rome would be the center of political power, military power of the day. Jesus of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the religious center for Israel. But he's Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, what's Nazareth? It's nothing. It's like Widgiemooth. You ever been to Widgiemooth? You know where Widgiemooth is? Call yourselves Western Australians. My goodness. Widgiemooth is a little, you wouldn't even call it a town. It's a little thing you drive by between Norseman and Coolgardie. Beautiful holiday place. No, not at all. Don't go out there for a holiday ever at any time of the year. Widgiemooth is kind of like, where is that? And it's a nothing little place, but I just love saying Widgiemooth. This week, when you're out with a friend or at work, say, hey, have you had a holiday in Widgiemooth? Watch their face. Go, not that I can recall. Jesus of Nazareth. Like one of the guys said, can anything good come out of this place? Jesus has come for us when we feel insignificant, when we feel unimportant, when we feel we don't make a difference. See, Nazareth wasn't Jerusalem. Nazareth wasn't even Capernaum. Certainly wasn't Rome. It was a nothing place. But he's Jesus of Nazareth. He's come for you when you feel insignificant, when you don't feel important, when you feel like a failure, when you feel like no one pays any attention to me. Just remember, he's not Jesus of Rome. He's not Jesus of Jerusalem. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's come for you. However small you might feel at times, he's Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus hears this and he begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He begins to yell out what I call a shout of faith. He begins to make a noise. He's just not going to sit there passively and kind of rattle his tin can and see if he can get a few more donations. He begins to yell out, "Jesus!" We discover as it goes on in the story, it's a shout of faith. And sometimes you and I need to get away from being passive and actually have a literal shout of faith. Sometimes it's actually good for you to go down the beach or go out into the bush or go out to Widgiemooth if you want and yell out, "Jesus, have mercy on me, Lord. I'm reaching for you today." Don't need the mic, do I? Feeling young. Sometimes you and I need to step out of just the zone we're in and have a shout of faith. And sometimes it's a literal shout of faith where I've done this over the years. Yelled out, "Lord, where on earth are you? How long, Lord?" Anyone prayed that prayer this year? How long? My friends in Melbourne, man, they'd be going, "How long, Lord?" Sometimes a shout of faith is not always a physical thing, a yell like that. Sometimes a shout of faith is just the perseverance through a scenario that is difficult. Just to hang in there, to stay in there. Even though you feel like, man alive, this problem, I don't know if I will outlast it or it will outlast me. Sometimes a shout of faith is just standing strong in faith through a thing to the very end until you see the Lord interrupt and bring the deliverance that you so desperately want. Sometimes a shout of faith is something like I did last year. March last year, Diane, my wife, got seriously ill. She got vertigo for a number of months and got quite ill. We were having our own sort of challenges with our ministry. My best friend got cancer, and I thought, my goodness, things are starting to pile up around here. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to do what I would call a shout of faith, but it doesn't involve crying out to the Lord verbally. It requires an action." And so I said to the Lord, "I'm going to do something I do not like doing. I'm going to fast." Does anyone here like fasting? Of course not. We're made to eat. One lady's putting her hand up. Oh, I don't know. Who likes to eat? Let's go for that one. Yeah, okay, a lot of hands going up now. Here we go. Absolutely. I'm into feasting more than fasting. Just add a little E in there. That's me, baby. I thought, "Lord, I could do a fast." So I thought, I'm going full out. I'm going to do a 5-day fast. Golly, you can live off some previously adhered to calories. 5-day fast, got into it. You know what? I had the grace of God on me so much for the 5 days. I got to the end of 5 days and I thought, you know what? I'm killing this. I'm actually feeling good. How unbelievable is that? You don't eat for 5 days and you're feeling good. I mean, you drink a lot of coffee. I did anyway. I don't fast coffee. There are some limitations. Don't tell Jesus this. He might ask me to stop it. But there are some limitations. I'm drinking the coffee and the water and kind of keeping myself going. I went for 10 days. How incredible is that? I'm not that holy. Trust me. This is the grace of God on me. And I was desperate for breakthrough. You know, that could be a shout of faith. I actually wrote down, I had 5 things I had before the Lord during that time. And I've actually kept that bit of paper. It sits in my study. It's on my left-hand side. Actually, it's on a little table next to my IKEA chair where I pray and read the scriptures. And it sits there. A little piece of paper sits there. It's all coffee-stained now. This is about 20 months ago, and it's kind of crinkled now. But every now and again, I'll bring it back up. And I was looking at it this morning, and I thought, oh, look at that. Some of those things have changed. Every now and again, I just wave it before the Lord. Hey, Lord, remember the 10 days. Hey, Lord, that's a shout of faith. I stand in a place of... What's your shout of faith at the moment? What have you made a stance on that you're believing God to break through into your life? What is it? Is it something that you're praying for? Is it something you may be even thinking, you know what, I think I need to really seek the Lord with fasting and prayer over that matter? Is it an endurance thing? Is it a temptation that you're resisting? Something is enticing you. It might be a boss at work who wants you just to kind of take some shortcuts, do some dodgy things on the side, and you just say, no, don't do that, boss. I'm not telling that lie. I'm not doing that dishonest thing to that customer or that client. I'm just standing here, and you know, you kind of feel like, gee, it might be a bit of pressure, job might be under risk, but your shout of faith is you're just standing in integrity. Standing in integrity is a shout of faith. It's making a stance over a matter to ultimately see that matter shift into the full purpose of God. What's your shout of faith? Because the thing I love about Bartimaeus, he could have just sat there and gone, you know what? I think I'll just get a big offering today, big crown. Instead of saying, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me, he'd be saying, hey, fill the can up, folks. Come on, you sound happy. Come on, fill the can. But he goes, no, there's something else. Sometimes I believe, as believers, we can cruise through our life with too much passivity. Things can happen to us. Scenarios can come upon us, and we just kind of get stuck in neutral and just cruise. The Lord wants us to find a gear and go, no, that needs to shift. For some of you, that's things in your family. For some of you, it's health. For some of you, it's work, business, some shifting in the business area. Some of you, it's financial. The shout of faith can be so many different things. Sometimes through this year, actually, one of my shouts of faith is every now and again, I'll lie in bed at night and wake up, wake up in the middle of the night this year. I think I've woken up in the middle of the night this year more than I have done for a long time. You're just waking up and your brain's going. And you know what I do? I just lie in bed and I don't want to yell out, Jesus, help me. Because my wife's sleeping and that wouldn't end well. So you know what I do? I just lie in bed and I just put my hand up in the air. Over here, Lord. Here I am. John's here. I'm just letting you know. I need you. I need your help. It could be something as little as that, but I've done that regularly this year. Because it's been it's been a weird year. Too sad this year. I'll be glad to see the back of it. Come on, 2021. And I would actually like to interview 2021 before it turns up to make sure it's going to behave itself. Let's just reach in for the Lord. That can be a shout of faith. Verse 48. Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet. But I love this. But he shouted all the more. Don't you love that? There's a heart there, a perseverance, a passion. I don't care what the crowd says to me. People say, shut up, come on, we're going to Jerusalem, man. Be quiet. You're just a blind beggar over there. He began to shout even more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Trust me, whatever your shout of faith is, however it is expressed, you will be opposed. We have a devil who hates us, a devil who hates Jesus. And he will oppose you and whatever you decide to set your sail for, to believe God for. He will resist you. He will come against you. He'll put thoughts in your mind that are contrary to what you're believing God for. The crowd will yell at you at times, but I love it. Be like Bartimaeus. Keep shouting even more. When you get that resistance and that opposition, build your resilience by saying, okay, I've got a bit of resistance here. I'm stepping it up another gear. I'm getting more into the fray. And I love verse 49. Jesus stopped. Oh, how cool is that? And said, calling. You don't have to be a somebody for Jesus to notice you. You don't have to be important. How good is that? Because in the world, you have to be a somebody to get noticed out there. You have to be important. You have to have a privilege or a power or position. But Jesus is happy to stop for a blind beggar. How much more you? He says, call him. And so they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Suddenly the crowd switches. Oh, don't shut up. Here, come on. Jesus wants to talk to you. Throwing his cloak aside, just threw it aside. I love that. Jumped to his feet, came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. That's a funny question, isn't it? It's fairly obvious. Lord, have you noticed he's blind? You know, possibly he might want a miracle. What do you want to do for me? Well, if you go back to the previous story, the very story before this one, James and John come to Jesus and say, Lord, will you do for us whatever we ask of you? Cheeky. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? They said, well, when you come into your kingdom, we're on the way to Jerusalem, may we sit on your left and your right hand. Arrogant little beggars. We want to sit where you sit. We want to be crowned with you. Jesus said, well, don't think that's mine to give. We'll just see how this flows out, brothers. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked the question to now the blind beggar. And I love what Bartimaeus says. I mean, he could have said, Lord, tell everyone to put something in the can. Lord, could you pray for my begging business right now? Because I think I'm on the verge of a breakthrough. And I think I actually could scale this up and have quite a few blind guys working for me as well. I think my begging business could go through the roof here. Lord, could you bless my begging business and tell everyone to throw in double what they would normally do, and I'm going to have a brilliant day. Thank you very much, Jesus. Sometimes you can shoot too low with your shout of faith. Sometimes you can kind of, you know, and look, I've been walking with the Lord for decades. Like Pastor Stuart, I've been walking with Jesus for a long, long time. And over that time, you can get a few knockbacks to your faith. I don't know about you, Pastor Stuart, but every now and again, things don't quite work as I want them to work. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, I think so. You hang around long enough and your faith takes a bit of a knockback. But you and I have to be, and this is part of being a mature follower of Jesus, you and I have to be resilient enough to bounce back from that and say, Lord, I'm going to believe you for what I know you can do. You can do the impossible. You can do miracles. You can do things way beyond my imagination. And I love what the blind man, Bartimaeus, says. Rabbi, beautiful expression of respect and honor. I want to see. I don't want to be blind anymore. I don't want to sit by the side of the road rattling a tin and living off little handouts that people give me. I want to see. And I don't know what that'll open for me, but I want this miracle. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Your shout of faith, man, that's broken through for you. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight. And here's the fascinating thing about the New Testament. The healing of blind people was reserved for the Messiah. You won't find one person in the Old Testament who got healed of blindness. You'll find all sorts of amazing miracles. Red Seas will part. Jordan Rivers will part. Manna will fall from heaven. People will be raised from the dead, but you'll never find in the Old Testament a blind person healed. It was a miracle reserved for the Messiah, for Christ. It was a sign, actually, to Israel that the Messiah had come, that the one who would come in the Father's name would be the one they'd longed for centuries. And immediately he received his sight and went back to his begging business. Nah, it doesn't say that, does it? What sort of translation are you reading, John? And followed Jesus along the road. Every shout of faith, when it comes to a fulfillment, and God breaks through and interrupts your life and my life, the thing that you've been crying out for, the thing that you've been fasting for, the thing that you've been standing for, is designed to bring you to Jesus. It's designed to see him again, designed to love him more, designed to be in touch with him, to worship him, to adore him, to follow him. You know, singing that song, I can't remember what song it was, but singing that song, and it gets more pertinent as I get older. You know, one day I'm going to die. The song didn't say that, but it pretty well was saying that. One day I'm going to die. And Lord, when I stand before you, I know you'll love me. I haven't got the exact right words, but it's kind of like, oh, Jesus, as I age, I want to be like Bartimaeus. I want to keep seeing you, and I want to keep following you. Why don't you close your eyes where you're sitting this morning? What's your shout of faith? Can you articulate it? What's the thing that you want to change? What's the thing that you want to see breakthrough? What's the thing that you want to see shift? What's the thing that you want to see come to a new place? Might be a heart thing, an attitude thing. It might be something related to work or business. It might be something in your family that you're desperate to see. This morning, I want you to decide, you know what, John, I'm going to slip out of neutral. I refuse to be passive about this thing. I'm going to have a shout of faith. And it may be a prayer thing that you go down the beach or go somewhere in a bushwalk and really cry out to the Lord in a new way. It may be something daily. You just bring, I'm going to bring this before Jesus daily. Or maybe that I'm going to get a friend praying and we're going to pray together about this matter. Maybe it is fasting. Maybe it is shifting something in your world. Maybe it is launching out to try something brand new in your life. What is it? I want you to make a great decision this morning. Say, Lord, I'm going to find my shout of faith. I'm deciding today I'm not going to be passive about that thing. I'm going to shift gears into that thing. Sit there and every eye is closed. I want you to make a decision right now. Lord, I'm going to find a shout of faith. I want you to confirm that decision just by simply doing one thing. Affirm that decision by simply raising your hand high in the air and put it down again. Go ahead and do that right now. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. So many hands. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you up the back. Bless you on my right as well. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Thanks up the back. Decision now here in the house of God. You can take action on that thing. If you haven't yet raised your hand but you want to, go ahead and just affirm that decision right now. Go ahead and raise your hand right now. Put it down again. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you. Thanks up the back. Thank you. Father, I'm praying for everybody who's made a superb decision today. Superb decision to have a shout of faith, to cry out to you to have mercy on us. I thank you, Jesus, that you, Son of David, you have kingship on you, Lord. You are a king, you're Son of David. That you, Jesus, will cause your reign to come into our lives in a fresh way. Father, we yield ourselves to you. Confirm and affirm this decision within people's hearts right now, Lord. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, that the shout of faith will give breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Why don't we stand up? Shout of faith that God is able to go far above what we ask and think. Nothing is impossible with God. And even as you have raised your hand, I pray breakthrough. Start to be released each day into
once I bow my knee, will your blood was shed for me? There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You go
fellowship, and if you need prayer, you can come forward. The pastoral team is here, and we'd love to pray for you.